This is BPN Radio, your 24-hour internet prayer station, calling America to pray. It's time now for the Christian War Room with your host, Michael Schonborn. Now, here's Michael.
Yeah, thank you, Dave, for the introduction, and welcome to the Christian War Room. Just imagine, you know, Great Britain in the good old days. You had something which I find quite peculiar, and I haven't seen it in Germany, I haven't seen it that much in the USA either, possibly about 100 years ago, or maybe not quite as long. But one thing which used to be a common entity in almost every home was the fire in the chimney. Now, well, if you're in England, it's a mining area, so there's always been a lot of coal around, and that's one thing you had in every house. There was a coal fire, and you know, in winter, you know, people had like a coal bunker outside. They would bring in the coals, lit them on fire. And they had to be very careful as well. So if they had some carpet in the living room, they had to have a fire guard around it. And it was just a very interesting thing. And at night, you chuck some coals on the fire and you were stoking them to get lots of warmth from them. And gradually the room would just heat up and you would have this very nice heat coming from the fire. Giving you the warmth on a winter night, and you could just watch it and see how the coals would simmer and burn down. You sometimes heard a little bit of crackling, and you could smell the fire as well. So, in a way, it was, you know, on a dreary, cold winter night, it was a feast for the senses to, you know, just be comfortable in front of a nice coal fire. Okay, and this is what I've seen. Today, I went to a shop, to a DIY shop. In America, it's similar to like Texas Home Care, or in Britain, it's B&Q. And I saw an exhibition of a lot of fires, and I looked at them, and I was quite astonished because it did look like a real coal fire, but it was inside a shower room without any chimney, and obviously it wasn't real. So I looked again, and I was surprised how real it looked, and it was a bit like an LCD screen with a genuine fire, just the image or the film or whatever it was of a fire just playing along, and it looked like a real fire. And then they had another effect. I mean, there are sort of fire effect things, and I've seen them before, but there was another effect, and that was the sound effect. So there was almost like a video, some sound playing and imitating the crackling of the fire. Like if you had some wood or something, coals normally don't crackle that much. If you were in wood, it's a bit different. So you can hear every now and then as the wood burns and might just a bit of moisture trapped in it. And I'm not sure whether it's what's causing it. But it cracks. You know? And then next to it, I saw another fire. And again, from a distance, it looked really real. And there was actually some smoke as well, and I thought, what's going on here? So I went near the fire, and it looked like the real thing, and there was even some smoke coming off. But when I put my hand sort of near it, the smoke was cold, and I realized it was just some water vapor. So you had like a coal fire, an imitation coal fire, which looked very real, and it even had real smoke coming out of it, or what looked like real smoke. But it was just water steam. Yeah. So, quite interesting. Okay, why am I telling you this? I think sometimes God speaks to us in the most bizarre ways. And I had to look at this and I thought to myself, you know, this looks so real and yet it is totally fake. And the most important ingredient you should get from a fire, and that is the purpose of the fire. So like in the olden days, people didn't lit a coal fire to just look at something pretty. They didn't lit a coal fire to have the smoke coming up. They didn't lit a coal fire to hear the crackling of the wood. They lit a coal fire to get the warmth from it. That was the purpose in the olden day. They wanted to get the warmth, and then the rest was just a side effect, a byproduct. No, what is the story here? Yeah. I think in the church there's something very similar. There's something similar happening. There's something which I would call the fake fire. And we find it all over the church. And I want to sort of go through this, and please stay with me. Now, when we talk about fire and we talk about the Bible, yeah, I think nowadays, because we've all been conditioned, it's all related to the Holy Spirit. But when we look in the Bible, it's not necessarily the case with the Holy Spirit. Fire has got a couple of elements. One of them is it's used for judgment. Yeah, we've got hellfire, and we've got the concept of Gehenna, which was just a fire, you know, outside Jerusalem, illustrating hell. We've got fire on the altar, a purifying fire, you know, for sacrifices. A fire that eats up a sacrifice. We've got the story with Elijah as well. We've got Elijah on his chariot with, a fiery chariot. Yeah. And then also we've got, and this is where this whole concept of the Holy Spirit being equated to fire. We've got, you know, the Holy Spirit coming down on the people like tons of fire. Yeah. And they behaved like they were drunk and started telling the great stories of God and declaring the greatness of God. And that is the Holy Spirit. And so very often we get this connotation today, you know, like we get these terms like fire conference and so on. Okay, but what we need to understand when we look at the Bible is, what is the Holy Spirit all about, you know? I mean, there's some of the obvious stuff is there. The Bible is very clear. And I challenge you to check it out. You know, go on BibleGateway.com, and on Bible Gateway you can just put in those terms and it'll come up with the scriptures. But anyway, we've got a couple of very important concepts in the Bible. I mean, Jesus talks about the Holy Spirit, that he will lead us into all truth. He will lead us into an understanding, convict us of sin, you know, an understanding of the truth and who Jesus is. Jesus talks about that he will declare righteousness to us. Yeah, and again, we've got the whole concept of the New Testament. We've got the righteousness of God. We've got the problem of sin. We've got the truth, which is in Jesus Christ, and we've got the promise that the Holy Spirit will remind us of the things Jesus has done. So we've got all this sort of, you know, when Jesus was talking about the Holy Spirit. Also, when we look in the New Testament, we look in 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians talks about the Holy Spirit being giving us gifts. Yeah, we've got lots of spiritual gifts, like love, for example, one of the most important gifts Paul is pointing out. But we've got prophecy, discernment. We've got gifts of healing. Yeah. We have got teaching gifts and lots of other gifts given by the Holy Spirit. We have got the idea and the concept that faith is through the Holy Spirit. We cannot believe in God unless it was given to us by the Holy Spirit. We have got the whole concept of the struggle we have got between the flesh and the spirit. And we are reminded if we walk in the spirit, we will not complete the works of the flesh. And obviously, you could make the argument, is Paul talking about the human spirit or the Holy Spirit? I would say he's talking about the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit is very important. And I wouldn't sort of go in the whole Pentecostal, you know, ultra-Pentecostal charismatic thing that if you are filled with the Holy Spirit, you are sort of ecstatic. You may be, yeah, you may be, but surely it's not all the time. Yeah? Because obviously, you may have times off, you know, ecstasy, and which is totally okay. But you'll also have times where it's not the case. And you've got times where you will be led and you will be, guided by the Holy Spirit. How can we receive the Holy Spirit? Jesus said that when he goes to the Father, he will ask the Father and he will send us his Holy Spirit. And the beauty is we can receive the Holy Spirit as soon as we are washed and made clean by the blood of the Lamb and made perfect in the sight of God. And so the Holy Spirit can indwell us. And that is sort of the great promise we've got in the New Testament. Okay, so this is what we have. Yeah. Now we've got the other side as well. We've got the fake fire. And this is one of the things, you know, when first temptation, you know, Eve, the devil told her 90% truth, 10% lie. And that is a little bit what we get from the other side as well. Everything looks right. Everything just looks like spot on. And yet, it's a lie. You know? Okay, let me just go back quickly to this whole thing. You know, we've got Britain in the old day. We've got the purpose of the fire. It's to warm ourselves. Just to go back to this fire analogy. It's a feast for the senses. We can, we've got the optical thing. We can see the glowing coals. We can smell the coal. We can see the smoke of the coals. We hear the cracking of the wood. And then most importantly, right at the end, you know, I make this a last point, we feel the warmth of the fire. And at that point, we know it's real. And if it had been a real fire, I would not have put my fingers right in the middle of the fire to see whether the smoke is real or is hot or not. Okay? Now let's have a look at the fake fire. You know, the one I've seen at the DIY store. It looks real, you know, especially from a distance. From a distance, it looks like the authentic thing. And if you walked in a home with one of these fires, and you might have a little bit of glass, you know, as a fire guard in front of it, you might think, this is a real fire. It looks real. It sounds real. You hear the crackling of the fire burning, and it's like a real effect. The other fire next to it had a smoke vapor. So you could see the smoke as well, and the smoke was 3D. Yeah, it wasn't just a 2D picture, but it was 3D. And as you went close to it, you could see the smoke going up. But again, you put your finger on the smoke, and it's not hot. It's cold smoke. It's just water vapor. And there's no scent to it either. But then again, you could probably add some scent to the water vapor to make it smell like fire. But it's not real. Yeah. The main thing is, when you go near the fire, you don't get any warmth. The whole purpose of the fire is not there. There's no warmth from it. I mean, probably it's not necessary because nowadays most houses have got a central heating system. So it's just some, you know, a feast for the eye, a feast for the senses, but it doesn't serve any purpose whatsoever other than pretending to be a fire. Okay. So that is the thing. Now, what is the lesson we should learn? We've looked at the Holy Spirit. Now let me look at the fake fire, and let me look at fake manifestations. Yeah. When I've looked in the occult world, we've got a lot of things which we have got, you know, within Christianity as well. So let's look at the gifts of the Spirit. Yeah. We've got the gifts of the Spirit, and for example, we've got healing. Healing, you go to somebody, and some people are very gifted in this, and they just pray for somebody, and they just get healed. Some people say there are different gifts of healing, that some specialize on you know, bad backs, and others on arthritis, maybe others, you know, on paralysis or something. I'm not sure how this is implemented, but some people say that this is the case, and I don't doubt it. Yeah, there are gifts God is giving us, you know, so you will have the faith to do something, to do signs, or to you know, pray for healing, and the healing just takes place. The same is in the occult as well. My mother was telling me of a woman in one of the villages, and she had some sort of occult gift. She could just speak over something, and people would be healed, and it didn't matter what it was. From what I understand, it was a spiritual, dark, some people might call it a white witch kind of thing, from a spiritual dark side where the healing power was coming from. Normally, it always was connected with something else. So you got one, but you had to pay with something else. So people, from what I've heard in one example, they started having nightmares, and they you know, something else went down. Yeah, so there was some sort of contract connected with this healing. Yeah? So there's never a pure good healing. Speaking in tongues. Yeah, when you look at Hindus, and then Hindus surely are not Christians. Yeah, they worship Shiva. They worship a lot of gods. They have got a lot of rituals, but they don't recognize Jesus for who he is. Some Hindus, they do speak in tongues. So speaking in tongues is not the ultimate evidence of you know, that this is the real fire. So what else have we got? We've got prophecy as well. Yeah? And it's interesting as well. We've got psychics, and some of them may just have some sort of supernatural ability. We've got witches, and witches, some of them, they've got also supernatural ability, and they can tell you everything about your life because they are in touch with some spiritual powers who have got information about you that nobody else has. So these guys could prophesy, they could speak into your life, all through the knowledge and the wisdom they get from the other side. Do they know the future? No, they don't know the future. This is one big difference, you know, between divine prophecy coming from the Holy Spirit, where God knows the future. He knows the present, the past, and the future. And a prophecy which comes from God, and which is effected by the Holy Spirit, can integrate, can have everything. It can have the present, past, and future. It can uncover the secrets of man's heart. And Paul says this, you know, isn't this what you should do? You should rather prophesy. So if some stranger comes to you, you uncover the secrets of his heart, and he will say, God is truly among you. And anyway, that is a gifting by the Holy Spirit, but it's also something in the future, because God knows the end from the beginning, and he can give us information, warning us about future events, or warning us to go a different way, you know, to make sure that certain events do not take place. For example, to repent, to, you know, turn back from a bad way we have embarked on, something like that. The devil can't this. The devil doesn't know. Yeah? On the other side, they only know the past, possibly the present, and there are some limitations as well. They may not know what is happening inside of you. They may only know externally what's happening externally. And again, you know, it's there. It's on both sides. Signs and wonders. Both sides, you know, go to some guru in India, and they've got power of all sorts of weird signs and wonders. Go to some magician. Some magicians, they are in contract with the other side, and they can do stuff, you know, which cannot be explained with illusions or being an illusionist. But they are under contract with another power. For normally, I don't fully understand how this works, and I don't need to, but they can produce signs and wonders, and people run after them and probably seek for wisdom. Now, my friend, there is something very, very fake out there. What you find is that the signs may be very similar, but the fire is still fake. There's no warmth from the fire. Okay, let me just take you to Matthew. In the Sermon of the Mount, Jesus says that, you know, in that day, many will come to him and say, Lord, Lord, did we not do many miracles in your name? Did we not prophesy in your name? Did we not do this, that, and the other in your name? And Jesus will say to them, away from you, you doers of iniquity, I never knew you. No, this is not, yes, I knew you, but you went in a wrong way, off you go. But it literally means I never knew you. Jesus didn't know these guys. They never repented. They never came to the knowledge of the Son of God as their Lord and Savior. But they were obviously operating in some sort of spirituality, where they were prophesying, where they were performing miracles, where they were doing signs and wonders, and yet Jesus didn't know them. Yeah. Jesus didn't know them. It was all fake. It was all fake. It was a fake fire. And then later in Matthew 24, Jesus warns it, and he says, look, you know, there will be many people coming in my name. There will be many false prophets, and he warns us again and again. Some even say that they are Jesus Christ returned. Last 150 years, we had about 20 of those guys who came up and claimed to be Jesus Christ returned. It's actually quite shocking. And what's even more shocking is that they actually get followers. They get people who follow them, genuinely believing that these guys were Jesus Christ. It's really shocking. You know, the deception, how far it goes, is just, I just can't get it. I just don't understand it. But it's happening. It's taking place. People are deceived. They're lying spirits out. They're deceiving people. And you know, when you go to some of these churches, where there's one church, it's called Jesus de Miranda. He's dead now. And I tell you one thing. I don't want to be in his shoes when he has been claiming for years that he is Jesus Christ returned, and now he has to stand in front of the Son of God, realizing what he has done, leading thousands of people astray. If you went to his church and they worshiped this guy, you would think you had entered some sort of charismatic, some sort of Pentecostal church, but they were worshiping flesh and blood of some guy who claims of himself that he is Jesus Christ returned, that he will not see death, but he will be translated straight into eternity, you know, when the time is over. And he had thousands of followers. Yeah, thousands of followers. It's just incredible. Mainly in Latin America and within the Latin American community. But it's incredible. He had churches all over the world. I'm not quite sure how strong his movement was. He died. I'm not quite sure what's happened to his church. He said his followers that it is, just to give you one example, that, you know, the 666 business is totally misunderstood and that is actually a divine sign. And he made followers to tattoo 666 on their foreheads, their right arm, or somewhere on their body. And you could see them all over. People had tattoos, 666 tattoos on themselves, because he told them that it was, you know, just a misunderstanding of some sort or another. Crazy, absolutely crazy. And people are falling for this guy, right, left, and center. I'm not sure what they do now. It would be interesting to do some research. But there were about 20 people claiming to be the Messiah. Many of them had lots of followers. Jesus has warned us. He has warned us that this is going to take place. Fake fire. That's what it is. Fake fire. Okay. What else? There are a lot of cults, Christian cults. They're all over the place. And some Christian cults, they are very, you would think you were, again, in some sort of charismatic church. There are people shaking and they've got little jerks and they run around and they, you know, make noises like a chicken and things like that. They bark and do all sorts of other stuff. They lie on their back and crawl around like a snake. Lots of things, lots of manifestations you see. Now, again, you know, is it real? Is it not real? Now, I believe when the Holy Spirit can come upon somebody, you know, in power and might, it can overcome the senses. And people, like the first Christians, people thought they were drunk at, what was it, 10 o'clock in the morning or something, which obviously wasn't the case. So I don't take this away, but on the other side, yeah, there's a lot of stuff out there which is not from God. And we need to be able to discern this. And the question is, how do we discern this? And in Matthew 24, Jesus gives us an answer. He doesn't just only say, you know, look at these guys who do all miracles, and so on, so on, so on. And he will say, I didn't know you, away from me. But he also gives us the means to discern what is going on. And he says, you will recognize them by their fruit. Okay, let me repeat this. You will recognize them by their fruit. Matthew 24, check it out. You will recognize them by their fruit. Okay. So what are the fruits? The fruits are in Galatians 5, and we can see this, you know, love, kindness, care, long-suffering, and so on, so on, so on. Yeah? And Paul, you know, puts the works of the flesh and, you know, compares them to the fruit of the Spirit. And now, in other words, when you've got the fruit of the Spirit, you become more Christ-like, you become more forgiving, more generous, more kind, more loving, more patient, more good, yeah, less sinful. That is pretty much the fruit of the Spirit, you know. And again, Paul says, you know, if you walk in the Spirit, you will not be able to complete the works of the flesh. Yeah, the flesh will not control you, but the Spirit will control you. And this is what we should, as Christians, endeavor. You know, we wake up in the morning and we wake up probably in the flesh. We should then try to move over to walking and living in the Spirit of God, to invite Jesus into our lives every day anew, to be covered by the blood of Christ, to be open for the Holy Spirit to do his work of sharpening us, of, you know, making us into a little diamond and overcoming, you know, all the bad stuff in our lives. By the fruit you will know them. By their fruit you will know them. And I want to encourage you to look at some of these movements and look at some of the stuff which is now today in evangelicalism and see what kind of fruit you've got there. I had a discussion with a pastor friend of mine. Again, he's a very seasoned pastor. He's been around the block a lot more times than I have. And he's done amazing stuff in his life. He's now, you know, in the dawn of his life. And And anyway, we were sort of discussing this, and he made this thing, and he said, oh, yeah, it's this issue between character and gifting. Yeah? And he said, there is something, you know, where people can be gifted, but they don't build their character. And you sometimes find the Pentecostals, they've got more gifting, and then maybe, you know, on the other side of the Christian spectrum, people have got more character, more refined character. The point I'm trying to make is no, it cannot be, yeah. And I know what he is saying, and I know, you know, it's not like a, you know, 2 + 2 = 4 kind of scenario. But what I'm wanting you to look at is at both, yeah. If we are genuine Christians, we should walk, number one, in the power of God. The power of God should be manifest in our lives. There should be something there where people can see, you know, this guy, this woman, there's something I haven't got, and that is the power of God in their lives. And I want to encourage you, you know, if you haven't got the power of God, the gifting, to reach out, you know, to be a prayer warrior, to be a man and a woman of faith who can reach out, who can shake mountains, who can shake trees, by beseeching the throne of God, where things will change on this world because you are standing up. And by faith, faith is not a persuasion. Faith is a relationship with God. It is where you beseech the throne of God, trusting in Him to guide you, to lead you in your prayer, in your understanding of Him, in the understanding of everything that is around you. And then you can ask God for anything, and it'll happen. It'll be done. But also at the same time that you are somebody where the mirror image of Jesus can be seen through your life. And we all struggle, and there's no question about it. Some of us, it's you know, it is there, yeah, very, very fast. And I've seen some guys, I was just jealous because I could see just Jesus in them. And then I looked at myself and I thought to myself, look at me, you know, I'm just a failure all the way through. You know, I'm roof, and there are so many edges in my character, yeah, which need grinding down. And I know this. But all I can do is I can leave it to the Lord. But then on the other side, you know, I want to be able to look back, and it's very hard for me to do this, but somebody else around me, somebody who's close to me, they could look back and they could see maybe 20 years ago I was a lot worse than what I am today. And if that is the case, then that is good. If 20 years ago I was worse than what I am today, then I'm more refined today. What you find with a lot of people in this world is that as they go through life without God, they become harder, their hearts become hardened, they become more bitter, they become, you know, more set in their ways, and less forgiving, less accepting. And you find with people who follow Christ that is very different. As they grow with age, they become more refined. And I remember one woman I've seen in Russia, she has spent her life as Jesus, and I called her the mother of love, you know, or the grandma of love, Babushka Lublu. And you could just, she was just oozing out love. There was not much life left in this woman. She was old, she could barely see, she could barely walk, she could barely move. She could barely do anything, you know. She was looked after by her granddaughter. But when you went in her presence, you could just sense the love of Christ. And that is a result of walking with Jesus for many, many years. And my desire is that you, that I, that all of us who love the Lord our God with all of our hearts, all of our minds, and all of our souls, that when we get old, we will ooze out the same love this woman was oozing out. The love of Christ in our lives. And this is true fruit, true spirituality. This is what we need to look for. Yeah? This is the real fire. When people come near, they feel the warmth of God. They feel the warmth of God, the love of God in our lives. That is the fire of God. It is not the miracles, the shouting, the screaming, the rolling around, the various manifestations. It can be, but it's not necessarily. What it is real fire. You know, even though, you know, you may have all this stuff, real fire should always come with the warmth of God. You should feel the warmth. You should feel the presence of God. And the presence of God should stick with you. Now, I don't know whether this woman is still alive, but I still remember her because I've seen the face of God in her. God bless and bye-bye from Michael here in the War Room.
For the past half hour, you've been listening to the Christian War Room with host Michael Sean Bourne. For more information on how you can participate or find out more about the Christian War Room, simply go to ChristianWarRoom.com. That's ChristianWarRoom.com.